Ramsey TV.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. What we're going to do today is we're going to listen to, and in fact, we're going to watch Billy Graham's last words. And as we do so, we will be thankful that these were his last words and that he did not continue to say anything that would screw up people's idea about God, about the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and about the really non-essential contribution of the human. Because as people listen to Billy Graham year after year after year after year, they would come away with the impression that it is entirely up to me where I spend eternity. It is entirely up to me to accept Jesus Christ. And if I don't, I will burn in hell forever. Thank you, Mr. Graham, for this wonderful message that is a complete and total lie and is the opposite of the gospel of Paul. And it is not even the circumcision gospel, which can rightly be said to be a if-then proposition as it is presented to people, but not even the circumcision believed in human free will, that a human could act independently of God. And so this is one of the torpedoes that damns the work of Billy Graham. This man will get no credit for teaching the Word of God. He might get credit for some good works that he did, but every single word he uttered and every single word he wrote will be burned up. That is, every word he wrote, every word he spoke concerning God will be burned up. It'll count for nothing, absolutely nothing. You do not want to be this man at the great white throne. It is better to say nothing than to say the wrong things about God and to lead people astray. Jesus, our Lord, condemned the Pharisees. And he said it was better for a millstone to be hung around one's neck and to be thrown into the sea than to cause a seeking person, a small one, a little one, to fall away from the truth, to be turned away from God. And Billy Graham turned millions away from God. But it was really worse than that, because he turned them away from God by drawing them toward the false God, which is a new level of deception. This is top drawer deception when you get people to think that they're serving the true God. That's really high-tech stuff there. That's satanic, diabolical genius. To get people farther away from God by drawing them toward an evil, malevolent being that is called God, but that in fact is an evil spiritual being that is organizing the human race into a vast religion that defames the name of God. After all, Paul said concerning the Jews that because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. Paul said that in Romans. Because of you, the name of God is blasphemed. Think of that. Because of the very people who carried God's name, they turned the world from God. Well, the Christian religion has done the same thing. And those who have had the word, those who are in contact, have access to the word of God, and yet pervert it for their own benefit, these people are in far worse shape than someone who has never, ever heard of God. Believe it, you would rather, at the great white throne, where God will judge the majority of the human race, you would rather be someone who has never heard of God than to be Billy Graham. So he has perverted scriptures for his own benefit, became a wealthy man, cavorted with presidents, one of the most respected men on earth. You should have figured something was wrong, Billy, when you became one of the most respected men on earth. You should have figured something was wrong, Billy, when you got on the cover of Time magazine. When you become one of the most influential people on the earth, didn't any red flags come up for you, Bill? Sir William? No, guess not. Because you wanted that. You lusted after it. You longed for the the applause and the love and the fawning and the fame. You wanted to be the man, the greatest preacher, America's preacher, who became the greatest deceiver of all time. Let's watch this unfortunate person deliver his last words. I will stop and comment as needed.
And because of the hope we have in Jesus, we can all be in heaven someday forever.
Because of the hope we have in Jesus, we can all be in heaven someday forever. This is the entire goal of the whole of Christianity, is to be in heaven. It is completely a selfish gospel. There's nothing here about knowing God. Knowing God, knowing the glory of God, understanding the sacrifice of Christ. No, it's all about getting to heaven and escaping hell. And this was the man's entire thing, how to get to heaven. Here's how you get to heaven. We can all be in heaven someday if the price is right.
But first, there must be a decision here and now.
Oh, but first, there must be a decision here and now. But first, before any salvation can happen, subsequent to the sacrifice of Christ, there must be something done now by you. What is it, Bill?
In this life.
In this life? What is it, Bill?
I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer.
Okay. And if I don't, what's going to happen to me if I don't?
Dear Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
I know that I'm a sinner.
Do I have to close my eyes? I need to
and
know.
I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you've died for my sins.
All right, this is the circumcision gospel, to ask for your forgiveness. Obviously, this is not Paul's gospel of justification by faith. Justification is being pronounced righteous. Billy Graham knows nothing of the gospel of Paul. Nothing, because we don't ask for forgiveness. We don't beg for forgiveness. We don't close our eyes and beg God to forgive us of our sins, because we believe God's words through Paul that we are justified by faith apart from works of law. That is declared to be righteous. What is a righteous person doing begging God for forgiveness? It makes no sense. Forgiveness is being guilty, but God's going to overlook the penalty. Being justified is being pronounced righteous. Being not guilty. Look at this guy with these. He's all about the pose. It's all about the Christian pose, closing the eyes. And you've seen these gestures when he's doing his great crusades. He's got the Bible in one hand and he's gesturing with his other hand, and he's an orator, this guy, an orator. The Apostle Paul said that his speech was contemptible. But this man was an orator, and he was celebrated for moving crowds, moving people. It's all an emotional plea, and it is based on eloquence and really stagecraft. Sickening, actually.
And rose from the dead.
No, you don't believe Jesus Christ died, Billy. You don't believe he died. Why do you say, I believe you died for my sins? You don't believe that. You believe the Trinity. You're on record. We all know you believe the Trinity. You believe that Jesus Christ was God. How can God die, Billy? Can God die? Billy would probably say, no, God can't die. Well, but you say Jesus is God. Well, of course Jesus is God. But then you also say Jesus died. And I know what Billy would say. Oh, it's just a mystery. No, it's not. It's a lie. It's a satanic fabrication. The Trinity is false for anyone listening to this show. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said it himself. What more do you want? He said that his greatest joy was doing his Father's will. His Father's will. And the most furthest, the furthest view we have of him is in 1 Corinthians. See, you'll never see my kind of gestures on national television or on a stage or a stadium when I address hundreds of thousands of people. You just won't see it because my gestures are rather awkward. They're not studied at all. But I totally forget what I was going to say, but it had to do something to do with the Trinity. I know that. Billy Graham does not believe that Jesus Christ died. Simple as that, because he's a Trinitarian. Let's go on.
I turn from my sins.
I turn from my sins. I know people out there are shocked, and some people are mad at me because they have a deep respect for Billy Graham. I want to disabuse you of this deep respect for Billy Graham. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to turn from your sins, but Billy Graham makes this a requirement for going to heaven, and you have to do it independently of God. This man is known during some of his crusades for telling people, do not pray for these people to come to the altar. They have to come independently. They have to come on their own. They can't be influenced by God. Don't pray for them at this time. It's got to be an independent decision, independent of God. That's satanic. That is satanic.
I repent of my sins.
What if I don't? What if I don't repent of my sins, Billy? Well, it's true that in the Israel gospel, if you don't repent of your sins, then you are not saved for aeonian life in the Israel gospel. But Billy Graham knows nothing of aeonian life. He totally takes the cartoonish, non-scriptural viewpoint of there's either heaven or hell, eternally with God or eternally with the devil. It's a cartoonish understanding. It's a baby apprehension. It's not scriptural. For all this man's so-called wisdom, he doesn't even know what an aeon is. The word aeonian and aeon, ion, the Greek word, and ionion, the Greek adjective, in the New Testament, 176 times. Speaking of time, God's plan of the eons, Jesus Christ came to Israel to offer them aeonian life. And if there was an Israelite that did not repent of his or her sins, did not do the law correctly and rejected Jesus, they would not have aeonian life. Billy Graham thinks they're damned for eternity. This is a satanic cartoon. They just miss out on aeonian life. It's bad enough. I don't want anybody to miss out on aeonian life. Jesus said there was a sin that will not be forgiven in this eon or the eon to come. Okay, what about the eon after that? Billy never asked that question because he didn't know the proper translation. He thought Jesus said that there's a sin that will never be forgiven. You know, Jesus never said that. Billy wouldn't know that because he never had a good translation and he never bothered to look at a freaking concordance. It will not be forgiven in this eon or in the eon to come. So there are many, many thousands, millions of Israelites who will not be in the kingdom that Jesus preached, but that was a kingdom that would last 1,000 years. It was limited, wasn't it? Very limited. Jesus Christ did not come offering people an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. This is the cartoon, simplistic, stupid viewpoint that this elderly man was never found his way out of. Never. God did not give him the grace to get out of it, and he just kept hammering and hammering and hammering. Here he is at the end of his life after, 70 years of service for Christ, and he's as stupid on his last day as he is on his first day. I am sorry. I'm a little rough here.
I invite you to come into my heart and life.
I invite you. Jesus can't do anything unless we invite him. Yes, in Revelation, I think it's 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody opens the door, I will come in. But that verse doesn't say why some people open the door and why other people don't. Jesus told his disciples, you have not chosen me, I choose you. So when we see Jesus Christ knocking at the door and we see some people opening, some people not opening, you have to go to other verses which are available to someone who cares to read the entire Bible in a good translation. You see that God himself gave the nation a spirit of stupor, eyes not to see, ears not to hear. And even Jesus himself said concerning one of the secrets of the kingdom, was that to the majority of the Israel people, it was not given. Jesus said to you, he said this to his disciples, to you it is given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, yet to those without it has not been given. And so they couldn't, by the will of God, the ironclad will of God, there were some who could not come to him because they were not destined to come to him. This is called the sovereignty of God. Billy Graham doesn't know anything about it. Look at this guy closing his eyes. If only he had opened them and read Romans chapter 9. Or Ephesians 1:11. If only he read Isaiah chapter 10 about the king of Assyria, or Daniel 4:35, or even Nebuchadnezzar smarter than this man. Nebuchadnezzar said, God runs every, I'm paraphrasing the guy. God does everything from start to finish. God works his will among the inhabitants of the earth and the inhabitants of the heavens. God does everything. I would rather hear Nebuchadnezzar preach a message at a stadium than this man. Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king, is way smarter than this white-haired gentleman here. I invite you into my life. He thinks the only way that anybody can possibly be saved is if God leaves them alone so they can independently choose him. This is called, this is the opposite of a euphemism. A euphemism is putting a nice turn of phrase on an ugly truth. I'm going to put the ugly truth on Mr. Graham's nice turn of phrase. Human free will. The true way to say that is salvation by human willpower. It is salvation by willpower. That's what Billy Graham taught his entire life. Salvation not by Christ, but by human willpower. Salvation by Christ or by human willpower. Billy Graham believed that a man or a woman is saved by human willpower. That's what free will is, folks. You have to understand that it's human willpower. Would any Christian admit that they believe in salvation by willpower? But that's exactly what they believe. What do you think free will is? It's willpower. I willed my way into heaven. That's what Billy Graham is exhorting people to do. From start to finish, you would think that some little bit of light would creak into this man's cranium. Nope. Listen, let's go. I invite you.
I want to trust and follow you.
Okay, I want to trust and follow you. Well, I feel bad for the guy here because he probably did want to trust and follow him, but God locked the door for this guy. God absolutely locked this guy out of his secrets. Locked him out. You know, this guy traveled the world. He didn't spend time with his family. He was so interested in his own fame, his own career, that he didn't spend time with his family. He ignored his family. I'm not going to say he's ignored him, but he definitely put his family on the back burner. I want to follow you. He's telling us. I wouldn't tell anybody to take advice from this guy. This is the worst guy, the last guy that I would take any spiritual advice from. Nebuchadnezzar knows more than this guy. It's incredible. God reveals his truth to babes.
As my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, as my Lord and Savior. The only way Jesus Christ can be Billy Graham's Lord and Savior is not by Jesus Christ being Billy Graham's Lord and Savior. No. Billy Graham has to invite Jesus to be. Can you imagine the audacity? I have to invite Billy. Do you have to invite God to make your heart beat? Do you have to invite God to keep you breathing? Do you have to invite God to make your addled brain work? No. Well, you don't have to invite God for salvation either. God invades your world. Jesus Christ knocking only gives God an opportunity to put it in someone to open the door or to close the door in front of someone. And let me tell you, God closed the door in front of this guy big time. Slammeroo.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, no, this guy's going to hear Jesus say, well, first he's going to say to Jesus when he finds himself, after when he wakes up at the great white throne, he go, hey, Billy, you missed the kingdom, bro. What happened? Lord, didn't I do wonderful works in your name? Didn't I speak to thousands at so many crusades in your name? Didn't I appear on the cover of Time magazine in your name? Wasn't I the author of several best-selling books in your name? Wasn't I a confidant of George Bush and the Pope in your name? Jesus will say, depart from me, worker of lawlessness. I never knew you. And Billy Graham will go away to the lake of fire. The lake of fire was invented for people like this. But he will be saved. I mean, he's been saved at the cross. The truth has just been locked. He's been locked out of it. Romans 11:32, God locks up altogether in stubbornness that he should have mercy upon all. So everybody's locked up at the beginning, and then some people get unlocked. This man never got unlocked, never came close. And if he had just become an insurance salesman, oh God, if only this man had become like a restaurant owner, insurance salesman, frickin' car salesman, or an owner of a car dealership, or bagging groceries, anything except what he became. What he became was Saul the Pharisee, who never got knocked to the ground. This guy never got knocked to the ground, and I feel so sorry for him for that. At least Saul, in his arrogant bastardhood, got knocked to the ground. That was an act of God. It was a grace of God. And I wish that God had shown that grace to this man, but he didn't. I don't know why. It's not my business. I'm not God.
Amen.
Amen.
And
Amen. I'm sorry. I get so irritated that so many have been deceived by this man. And I know some people are going to say to me, Martin, you say God is sovereign. Why are you picking on Billy Graham? Let me ask you this. Do you believe that God sends the rain? Rain is from God, yes, right? It's a blessing from God. Then why do you use your windshield wipers? It's of God. Just let the rain fall on your windshield and you can't remove it because it's of God. Absolutely ridiculous, right? That's what people say, the same thing to me. Why do you criticize people when you know that it's God that causes them to be the way they are? Because God tells me to criticize them. Through Paul, expose, rebuke, and entreat. And I will expose Billy Graham. His entire life was a misfire. And God reveals himself to babes, to little ones like me and you and others who have the truth. We have it not because we're slick, not because we're eloquent, not because we have the right gestures, not because we remember everything we're talking about. I forgot midway through the show what I was talking about because I started talking about my gestures and I forgot what I just said. That doesn't happen on national television. That never happened to Billy Graham because he's too slick. He's too smooth. You don't have that from here. None of us in the body of Christ read from teleprompters. None of us went to accredited schools. None of us boast in a theological degree. None of us have ever written best-selling books. Well, with the exception of yours, truly. No, I've never written a best-selling book. Hardly anybody reads my books, even though my books are great, the best books in the world on the topic of the Gospel of Paul. That's okay. I don't need that. I don't need to be on the New York Times bestseller list. I just want the satisfaction of working out what God put in me to do. And if anyone reads something I wrote or listens to something I say and gets something out of it, then that's fantastic. I love it. That's fruit from the work, fruit from my labors. But I don't do it for that reason. I do it because I'm compelled to do it. I have to do it because God put it in me, and woe to me if I don't do it. I don't do this to perform for God or to score points. Not at all. It's the same with you. It's the same with you. You're doing this because you have to do it. You believe this because God put the belief in your heart. So I pray for the soul of this man. He's dead now, just like the Apostle Paul. He's going to wake up to a hell of a shock, a hell of a shock. First, he's going to find out there is no hell as Christianity portrays it, as Christianity describes it with their mistranslated scriptures. That'll be a shock to him. Because his whole freaking life he preached something that didn't exist. And his whole freaking life he preached human free will that doesn't exist. His whole freaking life he preached things that were not true. Can you imagine that? Your whole life in error. Every single book you write in error. Every single crusade you executed in error. Oh, I feel sorry for this guy. I'm telling you, I could cry for this guy. My heart is really, after I raked them over the coals here, expose, rebuke. I wish I could have entreated them in this life, but I never got to them. Nobody ever got to them. God refused to get to them, and God set up the contrast for us. There has to be Pharisees in the world, like Billy Graham, so that those who are approved by God, those who oppose the Pharisees, those with the truth may be becoming apparent. So for that reason, sorry to say, I'm thankful for the contrast of the error of the repulsiveness of the satanic teaching, so that we can appreciate even more and thank God even more for what he has given to us.